Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. We got all kinds of good things that goes on. Now we're beginning to hear it up there a little better. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome one more time. We'll say welcome to the Living Savior Church. We're so glad to have you. And I've got a testimony here. In fact, maybe a couple of testimonies that we're going to talk about first. And Chad, would you like to tell us about your testimony?
Well, I need a promotion.
Come up here. Come up here where they can hear it on the mic.
We need to hear it.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, let's hear your testimony. Praise the Lord. I know we prayed about this one afternoon when you came up for prayer. I know we prayed, and then it wasn't too terribly long after that. God did something really good, wasn't he? Hold that up close to you. So.
Okay. Well, what happened is I needed a promotion. Okay. I needed a promotion, and I needed a raise. And I was in a situation that I'd worked and done the position for almost 3 years. And when the position opened up, you know, they first made me an offer, and it was horrible. It was only like a dollar an hour more than what I should be making. So we prayed about it. Thurman prayed about it again. And then the next offer I got, I sent in all my information about my qualifications. And my next offer was actually 13 cents more than what I asked for, because I knew then it was God, for sure that it was God, because normally when you negotiate for something, they don't give you more than you ask. They always give you a little less. So God always gives you more, so you know it's him.
Amen. Amen.
Plus, I knew how great it was is because my boss only makes $2 an hour more than me. I mean, I make almost more money than anybody in my department. There's only two people that make more money than me.
Amen.
Yeah, it's amazing when you see God work in your life.
Amen. You know. Pray about everything with Thanksgiving, right, Chad?
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for teaching me so much about God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know a God that answers prayer?
Amen.
Okay. Baron, you got a little testimony, I think. Just a little bitty one. Okay. Well, come up here and tell us your little bitty testimony. tell us what God's doing, son. Oh, but
yeah, both of them.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Both these boys are, these are two fine young men. I'm telling you.
Well, me and Char, we had a weightlifting meet this weekend, and our focus has changed on lifting, you know, for the world. It's lifting for Jesus now. Now we have a purpose. And our purpose is to let everybody know when we're on that platform who we serve. And I mean with vengeance, because Pastor teaches us the kingdom has enough wimps.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, these boys are not wimps.
Wow, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
See, that's okay. The power of God right there. It's a microphone.
Okay. So, I do things all out. I'm not a half guy or... But I want to be passionate about the Lord, because the world is passionate about the world. And they need to see us rooted deep in Jesus.
Amen.
And yesterday that showed with me and Char. We had three lifters, me, Char, and our young lifter. And we came back with 4 first place and 1 second place. But our main focus is on our walk with the Lord. Ms. Cheryl, will you come up here? So I set this up well before they would know it. So me and Char, we entered in two divisions, and we want to present Miss Cheryl and Pastor with our trophies that we won yesterday, because they're the true champions. Let's get them. Let's stand. Everybody stand. Everybody. Let's go. They the true champions, because, you know, Pastor Thurman teaches what the world don't want to know, what the enemy don't want us to know, who we are in Christ. And we know who we are in Christ. We love Jesus, and everybody has to know that we love Jesus without a shadow of a doubt. Yesterday, not only that, Columba,
come on.
We had a crew of people come to watch us and support us, and it was a blessing. I'm gonna let Columba talk on this one.
Okay, so where do I start? Holy Spirit, give me words. Okay, so I befriended this mother and sister. Which it was a mother and the aunt. Her son, nephew, was lifting, and he would always come before Baron. So we were new at the meet, and we would ask each other questions, like the blind leader blind. We're like, what's happening with that? I don't know. I've never been to one of these meets before. So we hung out, and Baron, every time he would come out, would praise God, you know? And so I shared, and then we were wearing our T-shirts, and yeah, Jesus strong, right? And so I shared Baron's story about his knee, how less than a year ago how it broke, and how Char laid hands on Baron and he was healed within 3 days, right? And so that's why he's all out for Jesus, and they're all out for Jesus. So I talked to these women, and at the end of the meet, I met up with them and their son, Brandon, and he recognized me, that we were all connected, and I said yes, and so I shared, again, Baron's story about the knee, and he could not believe it, because, you know, he's a weightlifter, and he said, and so I said, that's why he praises Jesus, and so Brandon went and said, well, I had a friend, and she passed away, but that's why I wear yellow in honor of her. And, you know, he started saying why he does things before meet or for a meet. And then I asked him, I said, well, do you know if she's in heaven? And he said, yes, she's in heaven. I said, but do you know if you're going to heaven? And he said, I hope so. And I said, honey, either you are or you're not. You don't have to hope. You can go to heaven. And he looked at me. And so I said, do you want to go to heaven? He said, yes. I said, are you ready to receive Jesus? Do you want to receive Jesus? He said, yes. And so I said, okay. So I walked him through the plan, and, you know, I said, you know, word says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. I said, go ahead and repeat those words. And he, sure enough, he did, and he accepted Jesus Christ then and there.
Amen.
The great thing about it is, when Columba was telling me, she was like, you know, he was in the back, and I know that was the Holy Spirit. This was his first meet, so I noticed him, and I went up to him, and he was real nervous, and I said, hey, I have this outgoing personality, especially to the guys, and I grabbed him, and I shook him. I said, hey, I said, calm down. I said, today is fun day. I said, we got 9 lifts. We only got 9 reps today. I said, we normally do 9 reps in one set. I said, you put in the work? He said, yes. I said, today is fun day. And he ended up telling Columba, man, that guy calmed me down so much in the back. But I know that was the Holy Spirit leading me to be an example for him. And when I shook him, it really just shook him up, and he was able to relax. And I was like, "You're gonna be okay today. Today is fun day. We put in all this hard work. Now we're gonna reap the benefits." And he told Columba that, and he was primed. I planted the seed. Columba watered it. So we're Jesus. Yeah. I want y'all to say something as well.
we just go down there and have a blast, and like Baron said, every time the focus is, and it's every competition. And the beautiful thing is those shirts.
Yes.
More and more people kept saying, "Where you get those shirts? Where you get those shirts?" So we hope that every time, because basically we're getting more well known, because we represent Jesus out loud. So when they see us more now, they remember, "That's those guys, that's those guys." So as we see more people, they keep asking shirts, we hope to see more people representing those shirts more often at every competition we go.
Amen.
So just glorifying God. That's what we do.
Amen.
That's what we call it.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank y'all so much. And we appreciate Pastor and Miss Cheryl. They support us. Pastor calls us his wimps, and we love being his wimps of Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all so much.
Amen. Great.
I'm good.
Oh, John. Praise the Lord. Good to have you, brother. Praise God. Love you.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of announcements. I do want to thank Baron especially because, as you were told a couple of weeks ago, February 1st, Mo Powers passed away, and Mo had the Precious Blood Ministries, and he was doing the homeless ministry for us, and we'd given him over 1,200 items of clothing, blankets, jackets, gloves, hats, scarves, and Mo had been passing out a lot of it, but with Baron and Jenny's help, Jenny that's one of our prayer warriors, and so when Mo passed away, the Sunday before, he told me he wanted 50 more blankets. Well, I purchased the 50 blankets and 22 jackets. And so I said, "Well, Baron, are you going to fulfill this legacy for Mo for me? Are you going to go down and pass these out?" And so this past Thursday, they went and did that. So that was a beautiful thing that it got finished. And people that need jackets and blankets, they have them now. And that's a praise the Lord. Okay, then we have one... Praise the Lord, but, depends on how you look at it. I look at it as a praise the Lord when somebody goes home to heaven. Dr. John Dealey passed away on Valentine's Day. I went to look for an obit, but I didn't see it. And so we need to keep his wife, Nikki Healy, in prayer and lift her up, and that the peace of God in the Comforter will surround her and hold her close while she's going through what she's having to go through. And a lot of you knew Dr. John. He always sit over there in the back corner, So, yeah, hollering hallelujah. That was him. Anyway, so praise the Lord. John's dancing on the streets of gold, and we praise God for that.
Gary's mother.
Gary's mother.
Went home this way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't figure you did.
No, I didn't.
So, anyway.
So, it surprised me,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah,
well,
I didn't know it.
Bless Carrie, then. Lord, we ask you to hold Carrie up.
She said it was expected.
She had been sick.
She was 84.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
She took her home, and she had a hallelujah funeral.
A hallelujah funeral, yes.
No, it wasn't sad at all. It was a
joyful
time. I just praise God.
Yes, amen. I agree. I agree with you. I praise God. Anybody that knows Jesus and gets to go on home to heaven, it's a praise the Lord. I know it's always hard for the people that are left here because it hurts our hearts. We miss them, but it's a praise the Lord because they're home.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a homecoming at some point.
Amen.
Everybody's got one.
Amen. Okay.
And her mother died also this week.
Oh, okay.
Celebration is going to be March 6th.
Okay.
So how old is your mother?
97.
Yeah, Barbara's mother was 97, so she was probably ready to go home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So your brother's wife lost her uncle the next day. Well, everybody's got to go.
Yeah,
we all got a time and place.
Yeah, we are very grateful for everyone that does go home to be with Jesus. It's those that don't know Jesus is the ones that we're really concerned about, because they're going to die too, just like everybody else. But Paul says that these people that have no hope those are the ones that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's why we need to be presenting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we need to be doing things in His name, like Dave said, so that we can see the glory of God.
Amen.
But, you know, we serve an awesome God. But He's told us in His Word exactly how He would, what He would do and how He would do it. And so if we just will read His Word and study His Word and do what His Word says, you can have a great life here on this earth while you're here. But, you know, after what we're listening and as we see, the enemy is never idle either. You got to remember the evil that's here in this world. John 10:10 tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so he's doing a good job at what he's doing, and he's deceiving us every day. I mean, it's tough to walk with Jesus every day and be happy and everything that we should be. It's not easy. It's not easy at all, but, you know, we can be the overcomers if we will spend time with God and try. So today we're grateful for all those that have gone home and, you know, that they've gone home to be with Jesus. We're grateful. You know, some of them wasn't very old, but, you know, I lost a daughter when she was 24. She wasn't very old either. But, you know, that's just the way life is, you know. So just be prepared. Tell your friends and relatives about Jesus so they'll accept Him, and be sure and pray for them.
Yeah. Amen. Well, that's what I wanted to bring up, prayer. That's something that I've learned through this ministry. John 20:23, most of you know that whosoever sins you remit or forgive, they're forgiven. Well, my son Scott had a girlfriend, and she had double pneumonia, and she ended up going to the hospital, and they were in sin. And so I went to see her. He asked us to come down and pray to the hospital. She ended up getting the swine flu while she was there, and then they had her in one of these rotating beds, you know, and they trached her, and after they trached her, they put her on the front, on her stomach, and it ended up, she bled out, and which she died at 46 years old. She was a very young woman. But the thing that's important to know is that I walked over to the glass. Instead of, I could have gone in, but I just went to the glass, and I stood there, and I remitted her sins, and asked the Lord, of course, to heal her and everything, and it was a really moving moment. So after she passed, and we went to the memorial, and with a comfort to Scott, and we all, Christine, Thurman, and me, we all flew in there, and so later in the evening, I was talking to God. I said, oh, God, I said, you know, I know she wasn't doing everything perfect. Lord, she had such a hard life here. Tell me that she made it to you. And he said, well, don't you remember? And I said, remember what? No, I don't remember. And he goes, you remitted her sins. He said, at the window. I went, I did, didn't I? I stood there at the window in the glass looking in the room as she's on that bed and remitted her sins. He said, she was with me. Yeah. So I'm just telling you, there's power.
Okay. Wow. Are you glad we can remit sin?
Yes.
Wow. That's the thing about it is that it's really difficult is to think about somebody going through their whole life here on this earth and never knowing Jesus. Yeah, I just can't fathom that. But anyway, you know, we're going to do the best we can to tell everybody about Jesus. We're going to be the living example of what Jesus is, just like these two boys that are weightlifters. I mean, you know, some of you have no idea, you know, the Baron's testimony about how his leg was broken, and how he got healed so quick. You know, he was just absolutely amazed. In fact, I think the doctor said you'd never lift heavy weights again, or never, especially these.
He tried
yeah, so.
They tried to curse him.
What, huh?
They tried to curse him. They tried to put that
on. Oh, yeah, I know they tried, but he wouldn't listen. But he got healed, and, wow. He reminds me of the faith of that Trevor. When Trevor was standing right here, 18-year-old boy. with these crutches. And I talked to him, I told him, I said, Trevor, you got a sin in your life toward a man. You got, it's in your right ankle and right leg, it's all broke. I said, you've got an unforgiveness and bitterness against a man. He said, no, I've forgiven everybody. I don't have any, I just want you to pray for me and I'm going to be okay. So I prayed for him. I told him, I said, now, Trevor, there's something everybody, every Christian needs to know. When you're prayed for, the scripture says you have to believe with no doubt in your heart that you've received your answer. He said, you pray for me, Pastor, and I know I'm healed. I said, okay, so I prayed for him, and he took the crutches and handed them to his mother, and the bones were all broken in his ankle, in his heel, and the leg was broken, and he had had just a walking cast, but he was walking with crutches. But anyway, he handed those crutches to his mother, and he walked out, and he got back to the back there. Turned down the aisleway. I said, Trevor. I said, what does it feel like? He said, Pastor, it hurts like crazy. But he said, I have faith. I'm going to walk. He's walking on a broken leg. And anyway, as he goes on out the door, he said, I'm going to do it. So they go get in the truck, and his dad and his mother, and they go back to Arkansas. Well, that was on Sunday. On Wednesday, he called back, and he happened to get Cheryl on the phone. When Cheryl answered the phone, he said, Cheryl, I've got to talk to Pastor. Said, my leg is killing me. Cheryl said, I talked to your mother after you left, and your mother says that you have a deep bitterness against your real natural birth dad. He said, I hate my dad. Is that what God told us to do? His power don't work when you hate. You have to walk in love. If you're not walking in love, God's power will not work. So anyway, Cheryl told him, said, you've got to forgive your dad, Trevor. And she said, that's why your leg's not getting well. So he said, okay, I repent. I will call my dad or write him a letter. I think his real dad was in prison, I think.
He wrote him a letter.
Yeah, so he said, I'm going to write him a letter. I'm going to forgive him and tell him I love him. I said, okay. So he did that. That was on Wednesday. The next Sunday, they came from Arkansas back here, and he stood right here and said, Pastor, I want you to know that Friday, I went back to the doctor, the surgeon, that told me I'd never walk or run on that leg again, and he couldn't believe it. My leg was completely healed. Completely healed. He went back to his high school, and they checked him out with the doctor and the surgeon's information and put that boy back on there, and he was completely healed, and he got a scholarship to go to college that year. So you see, he got a deal similar to yours, Baron. You know, you had such an awesome miracle of healing on your leg. The doctors told you would never run and play or lift these heavy weights again either, didn't they? But that's not true. They said you might not ever walk. He picked up, when he broke it, I'm not sure, I may be wrong. When his leg snapped, he was picking up, I think, 900 pounds.
No, 726 and 913
is my goal. Oh, 9's your goal. You were picking up 700 and something pounds. Now, only say, y'all understand why I call these two boys my wimps? I said, we need some more whips like that around here. I'll say that. But these boys, that's just like whenever they were down there somewhere at a meet, whenever they were talking about Jesus, one of the boys wasn't going to be able to do something right. And Baron told him, said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And I think he was all the way across the room. So he said he realized that I'm going to pray for you, and my Jesus is going to heal your leg, and you're going to win this meet in Jesus' name. I don't know what all they have prayed for, but you've seen the Lord do some pretty awesome things. I don't want to get too far into that because I don't know really a whole lot about what I'm talking about. But I do know that his God is an awesome God. I know that that same God is the God that healed Trevor's leg that day and put it back together. And to think, whenever the ankle is so destroyed that he's never going to run, never going to play football. Never. It ain't no way that your leg, you're going to be lucky if you walk without crutches. That was what the doctors told him. And in another week, after repenting of bitterness and unforgiveness, after one more week, that boy's leg, according to the surgeon, was totally, completely, perfectly healed. No surgeries. They had to have no surgeries, no nothing. And that next Friday, next Sunday, when they came back to church, he was running around here like crazy. And there was nothing wrong with his leg. Now, you see what faith does? Jesus shows up where there's faith, doesn't he, Miss Carrie?
Amen.
He does. So, we're going to start today. I want to show you something. I want to go to let's take our 9/11 card, and I want Cheryl to read that. Psalms 91. Let's get that in there.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and rampart. I will not fear for the terror of night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If I make the Most High my dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall me, no disaster will come near my tent. For He will command His angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They will lift me up in their hands so that I will not strike my foot against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will call upon him, and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation.
Okay. Stop and think about what she just read. If you meditate on that, in fact, I made this statement for years. I was on GLC out in West Texas several times a week on television that covered almost all of the world. And before every one of those shows, I made a little statement about Psalm 91. I said, if you will obey, if you'll take Psalm 91 and you will read it and you will obey what it says, I guarantee you can go to war, you can go anywhere you want to, and you can come home without a scratch. You don't have to worry about getting killed in war if you read Psalm 91 every day. Now, if the world only knew that, if the church only knew that, but that Psalm 91 that we just read, it's a guarantee from God if you will do what He says. He will do what He says, won't He?
Yeah.
I wonder why when God says if we obey Him and do what He says, that no evil shall come near us. Nothing shall touch us. Why don't we believe that? Why? You know, it's like that we read this book and we don't believe this book means what it says. Do we, friends?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, you do? You do now for sure, right?
That's right.
But there was a time when you're just like all the rest of us. Just think, if you will dwell in the secret place. In fact, I made a statement like that, and there was a gentleman here in the church that day, and he says, what does it mean to dwell in the secret place with God? I thought, well, okay, I guarantee you he's not doing it because he don't know what it is. He that dwells in the secret place, dwells. What does it mean if I was to say, would you like to make that girl your mate, running mate, the rest of your life? And he looked at this beautiful girl and he said, oh, yeah. I said, okay, if you'll stay just as far away from her as you can, not talk to her or nothing, I guarantee she will marry you. You don't think that's going to work?
No.
What is going to make him and her have a desire for each other?
Well,
being close together, dwelling together, right? If they're dwelling together, and, you know, I mean, if he takes her out to dinner, got tickled at a young girl the other day. She's going with this young boy, and it was Valentine's Day. And you may have lived here, I know I have. Whenever it comes time to go somewhere and do something with this young girl, and you're just beginning to maybe date or a little bit or something, and you're going to take this girl out for dinner, so you'd like to go to a fairly decent restaurant, but you know you can't afford it. So you ask her, I'd love to go see this particular restaurant, but, you know, it's fairly expensive, and I only got enough money to buy one meal. Would you split that meal with me and we go to that restaurant, or do we go to the hamburger place and we both get a hamburger? She said, let's go and split a meal together. So that's what they did. A young couple, just getting started in life, they're going to split that meal together. Do you know what that's going to do as they got their heads closed together? You know what that's going to do? It's going to draw them closer together, isn't it? As they're sharing that meal, and I can assure you that young girl and that young boy, if they will continue to live like that and be close to each other, it won't be long till old Papa T will get a notice one day, I'm fixing to get married. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. You can't go hide yourself somewhere else. You got to spend time with that girl. And so that's what it is with God. God made us. He wants us to spend time with him, to dwell with him. And if we would only do that, we would be able to see the King do some great and mighty things. He is a mighty God. That Psalm 91, I don't know how many times I've done that for. I was on that GLC for 10 years. 10 years, and almost every show I made that statement. You know, that if you will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you'll dwell with God and you'll obey him and do what he says. You can go to war. It don't make any difference. I went to the Vietnam War. I come back without a scratch. I was thinking the other day of the friends of mine that was from my own hometown that went to Vietnam. One of them went over there two hitches. Each one was a year. And when he came back that second time, he re-upped and was going to go back. I called him, I said, you've served your time over there. Don't go over there. He said, no, Thurman, them people need us. I said, no, they really don't need you. I said, you've been over there two times, 2 years. I said, you need to get out of that place and take care of yourself. He said, no, I'm going back. Well, that time he got killed. Lost him. And then this other friend of mine, his first tour, he was 1 year older than me. Went to high school, several years of school together, good friend. His dad owned a machine shop there in Goldway, Texas. And whenever I heard he was going in, I checked and he had joined the Army. Or I think he was called in, whatever, but he was in the Army. And he had to go to Vietnam. And the second week he was over there, he got killed. So it didn't last very long. But they were good boys. They were Christian boys, but they were not reading Psalms 91. If you read Psalms 91, if you hide it in your heart, and you're ready to say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my strength, He's my God, in Him do I trust. You're willing to talk about Him. Let people know that you know who you are. You can't be ashamed of Jesus, can you? Oh, you can be, but you won't get nothing from Him, that's for sure. You got to not be ashamed of the King. You got to be bold as a lion, stand in there and let everybody know. And if you will do what that says, He says, no sickness and no disease will come near your house, none of it. It's amazing. You know, also as I was reading scriptures this last week, I went over some scriptures in the Proverbs. And I thought to myself, you know, if there's anything we need to hear, it's what's written in the Proverbs. So we're going to read a few verses. We're going to start with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read a little along here as we go. We're going to talk about it. We're going to see what is going on.
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay, stop right there just a second. That scripture, when you find a young man, if you'll read it as daddy or granddaddy, if you will read these instructions and the Proverbs to your children or your grandchildren, boys and girls, but especially boys, boys need to hear what Proverbs has got to say. Because there, until a man comes to a place where he fears God, he'll go do anything he wants to do. But if you can indwell in that child that God is always there, and He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's always with you. He knows everything you're doing. And He will protect you and guide you and direct you if you'll only do what He says. Now then, if you don't teach children to fear the Lord, if you don't teach them that fear, they will not have any problem crawling over in the back seat of a car and having sex with a girl. They have no idea that God is right there watching what's going on. Because if you walk up on a car, I mean, it's amazing. You walk up on a car with a boy and a girl sitting in the front seat. They can be just sitting close together, not doing anything that it appears wrong. And you, as an adult, walk up and happen to tap on the window, they will just separate like this. It's kind of like people driving down the road in your car when a police officer is sitting over there on the side of the road and you're driving 65 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone and you're driving exactly 65 miles an hour and you go past this curb and there is a police officer sitting behind it and you let off the gas and tap the brake. Why did you do that? Because you know most of the time you speed. Most of the time you speed. You don't obey the laws of the land. Now, if you drive the speed limit everywhere you go all the time, you won't never have to look.
Right.
You will know you're within the confines of the law. And so you have nothing to be concerned about. But you know, if you don't know that fear will grip you. People need to know that God, everybody says God is a God of grace and mercy. And He is. He is a good God. He's a God of goodness. But you know, there's something that we fail to realize. If you look at the way the scriptures is written, and then you look at us as human beings, we have been trained to not believe that God will do anything but good. And so that's just like the, I had a standing right here, here in the last two or three years, I had a young lady and her husband that came up here from Odessa or Midland, and they had a little boy that was 13 years old, and his retinas and his eyes wouldn't focus. They came to a healing school. I asked the boy, I said, are you a Christian? And he said, yes, I am. I said, do you go to church? He said, yes, I do. I said, okay, Mom and Dad. I said, son, you have this problem and you've had it for your whole life? He said, yes, sir, I've been like this my whole life, 13 years old. Went back to the mother and the daddy, and I said, well, if this sickness or this curse come upon this boy while y'all were going together, I said, because it couldn't be the boy's fault because he had it when he was born. So it's got to be your fault. And I said, so did you, I said, usually what happens on something like this, the young boy and girl, they'll have sex before they get married. I said, did you two have sexual relations before you got married? And the young girl said, we did. I said, but we have repented. We have told God we're sorry. I said, okay. I said, were you Christians when you were going together? Yes, both of us. I said, well, hadn't you been to a church where they tell you that sex out of wedlock is wrong? And she said, yes. I said, so if you know it's wrong, then why did you do it? She said, well, I guess we just let the flesh override us. And that's usually what we do. We let the flesh override us. So I said, I said, did you realize there was a consequence? Have you ever read in the scripture where it says every act of sexual immorality will be judged? Now, do you think everybody knows that?
No.
I don't think they know it at all. But it says every act of sexual immorality will be judged. I said, so I asked the mother and the daddy, I said, so y'all had sex before you got married, but you knew it was wrong, but you didn't realize it had a consequence. And she said, that's right. We didn't realize it had a consequence. I said, if you had known that you had sex before you got married, if you had a child, especially a son, the firstborn, he could very easily have any kind of number of diseases. I said, would it have prevented you from having the sex? And she said, absolutely. I would never have taken a chance if I had known there was a consequence. I said, okay. So I said, both of y'all have repented. They said, we have. I went over and I laid my hands on the boy and I said, son, now then that the mother and daddy have repented of the sins that caused this problem, I'm asking you, Lord, to be merciful to this boy and your goodness. Now I'm asking you to forgive this boy, forgive his mother and dad, and we're going to claim the redemption from the curse, and then we're going to command this spirit that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's in this little boy because he has legal right because of their sin. But now then he don't have legal right no more. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I commanded that spirit to leave that boy right there. And after I did all that, I said, now then, son, do you believe what I said worked? He said, yes, sir. I said, okay, can you see yet? And he says, no. I said, okay, I want you to thank the Lord for healing your eyes. He said, Lord, I thank you for healing my eyes in Jesus' name. When he said that, he screamed. He was looking right up there. He says, Mama, those words on that board just became in perfect focus. I can see perfect. And that little boy to this day, that little boy to this day can still see and hear. And amazing. Show you how this works so you understand this. That boy and his mother and dad got their healing right there. 2 months later, there was another 13-year-old boy sitting right here. And that 13-year-old boy, his problem was, again, with eyes, but it was colorblind. He couldn't see any colors. He could see, but he could see black and white, but no colors. So I asked him if he was a Christian. He said he was. I asked his mother and dad, were they Christians? They said yes. Then I asked them, I said, well, he's colorblind. I said, did you two have sex before you got married? And they said, absolutely not. I said, okay. So I said, so we got a problem here, an issue. I said, the Lord prompted me. I said, you two are the natural birth family parents of this child, right? She said, oh, no, we adopted him. I said, okay, now see how this makes all the difference in the world? We adopted him and said that he was like this when we, but of course they didn't know they adopted him, but he had the problem with his color blindness. So anyway, after we talked a little while there, I said, well, son, have you accepted Jesus on your own now? And he said, yes, sir. I said, okay, at 13, you as a son of God, you have been redeemed from the curse. I said, so, but you have to claim that. I said, it doesn't come automatically. You have to claim your redemption from the curse. So we claimed the redemption from the curse over this boy, and then we commanded those spirits to leave him. As we commanded those spirits to leave that boy, I began to thank the Lord for healing this boy's eyes and making him see, be able to see color. And as we talked about this, and he followed right along behind me when he said, Lord, I am redeemed from the curse. I believe what Pastor is saying is 100% true because it's in your word. So I believe my eyes are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing my eyes. And then all of a sudden he swirled around, began to look, and he says, God is awesome. You remember that, Miss Jackie? You saw that, didn't you? God is awesome. He looks around. I said, son, what did he do? And he looks around and he said, wow. I forgot what the next. What did he say the second?
God is so cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. He said, God is so cool. I said, yes, son, he's cool, but what's going on? He said, sir, I can see colors everywhere. He could see colors. So this thing about it was, this boy's mother and daddy had not done anything wrong, but they weren't the natural birth parents. The real mother and daddy of that child had been on drugs, had had sex without a marriage, had done everything wrong. And so that curse passed down to their son. And he was colorblind and he couldn't see. But whenever Jesus paid the price for that. And he claimed that and stood on that. And that boy got healed and he could see. And in fact, I guess 2 or 3 months later, we got a really nice email from the mother. And she said, Pastor, what a blessing to have had the privilege to be there at the service and see our 13-year-old son healed of color blindness right before our very eyes, and then to see what God has done and to allow my dad and his dad and me, not the natural birth, but the adoptive parents, to get to teach him colors, you know, because he don't know colors. All he'd ever been able to see is black and white. So he didn't see. So she said, we've had such a wonderful time telling him about this color's red, this is blue, because you don't know. Isn't that something? How many times have you thanked the Lord lately for that you're able to see? You know, most people don't. We don't tell God thank you for the things he's given us. We take these things for granted. I know Barron told me the other day, he said, Pastor, I have eagle eyes. He said, I can see so perfect. But have you thanked him for them lately? Amen. Do what? Yes, I know. You did that day, I know. But you know, we all need to tell God thank you more. You know that? We don't tell him thank you near enough, I'll say that. But anyway, when you see what he can do, what he will do, he must really love us. For the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Should we really have a awesome fear of God? I think so, because the reason I say that, and lots of times people say, well, you know, fear of the Lord just means you have a reverent fear for him, that you love him. I do love him, and I used to love my dad, too. But I had a fear for my dad, because I knew, in fact, I remember one time some of the boys over in town on, I forget what holiday it was, but I think it was... anyway, I can't think which one it was, but one of them, but they were going to get up on a building and throw eggs at people that come by the red light. Halloween, that's what, yeah, it was a Halloween deal. They said, we get up on this building up here with our eggs, we can throw them at cars that stop at the red light, you know, and nobody will know where they're coming from. And so they said, they had four or five, you know, those cases of eggs, and they were going to crawl up on the building. It was a building back there that they could crawl up a ladder on the outside and walk across those roofs, get over there to where the light was. Nobody could see where you were. You had a wall about that tall around the edge. You could get down behind it. Nobody could see you. And they said, Thurman, let's go up there and we'll throw rotten eggs, throw eggs at these cars. And I thought about that for a minute. I said, no, you guys can go do that. I ain't going. Thurman, nobody will ever find out. I said, yeah, I know you say that, but I said, if they do find out, and my dad gets wind of it, I'm done. I said, I don't have any idea what he would do, but he could do it in his short of killing me. I would hope he wouldn't kill me, but I said, you could better be aware I'm not going to get up on that building and throw eggs at them cars. I'm going home, boys. Y'all can just have fun if you want to. I had a fear of my dad. I mean, I loved him, and I knew he loved me, but I had a fear. And I didn't want him to, you know, I don't even know how old I was back in those days. I was probably 16, 15 or 16, maybe 17. But I knew I didn't want to be out there throwing him eggs at some car. If I happened to raise up to throw something and somebody across over there happened to look up and say, hey, that's Thurman Scrivener. I'm toast. It's done. You're over. Did y'all have that kind of fear of your dad?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, if you didn't have that kind of fear of your dad, you needed that kind of fear of your dad, because the boys that grow up in life that have that kind of fear of their dad will usually turn out to be good boys, boys that are not hung up on having to go to jail and all that stuff, because young boys that grow up without a dad that disciplines and stands behind what he does, those boys usually will not believe that the police will do what they say they're going to do. And that's where we run into all the crazy stuff we've had. That's where boys getting killed and they get put in jail and everything else, because they don't believe that these men, these police officers, are out there to do what they're. Are they good boys? Yeah, those police officers are fine men. I mean, those are as good of men as you'll ever see. But they're also men to be feared. I mean, be afraid, you know, because they can put you in jail. You know, so, wow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Wow. The fear of the Lord. Okay, I need to read a little further there.
My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
All right, now right there. It's a shame. It's a shame that we have so many boys out there that have no training from their dad. We need more dads. And if there is anybody out there, if you have a child, you need to be the dad. And you need to be training that son of yours how to be a young man of God. And you need to be living that example in front of him. You need to be reading that scripture over and over and over. Hear the instructions of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother. If people would only... And here, there's something else that I think that... Young people, I didn't know this was in the scripture until I was, you know, quite older. That, like Ephesians says, and like when it says that the child must obey the parent in all things, because if a child obeys the parents in all things, it will make things be well with you. And it will bring forth a long life to you. Now then, who would ever dream, you know, I mean, I remember a few cases being in the healing ministry like I have been for so many years. I remember one time talking to a boy, and his brother died at 46. In fact, I talked to a man yesterday that his good friend died at 46. And he was only 50 himself. And so I didn't go into detail with him because, but I just think, if, you know, 46 is not old. You know, when you're 79, 46 sounds pretty young. That's all I got to say. But anyway, he said that his good friend just went to bed one night and didn't wake up the next morning. 46 years old, just died. I wanted to ask what I have asked several times of others when the scripture says, children, obey your parents in all things so that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. Well, what's going to happen if you're a child and you're not obeying your parents? Is it going to go well with you? No, there's going to be problems. You're going to have problems in life. And since we don't teach this in our schools, our children that are not obedient to the parents, they don't understand why things are going so wrong. They don't understand why they can't make good grades. They wonder why they can't remember. Their retention ability is bad. All kinds of things. And they get hurt. They step off the curb and sprain their ankle. All kinds of crazy things. And then when they get to be 46, they just have a heart attack and die. And somebody says, what a shame. Wonder why this guy, I mean, he was a good, hardworking kid and everything. But what's the deal? He's 46 and now he's dead. You reckon if you go back and check out his life, you find out that boy was not obeying his parents? And that's what caused his life to go away at a young age? 46 is young. Wow. My son, hear the instructions of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother. Next verse.
For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil.
Did you know that that's happening every day? Far too many times a day, there is a group of young men or young women that are trying to entice our other young men or young women to do things that's wrong. And if they don't have that fear of a father, now, if they've had that fear of God, the fear of a father instilled in them, that if I go out and do something wrong, I'm going to get a spanking beyond my wildest dreams, that will deter some of them. But you know, the thing about it is, we don't have enough daddies. We don't have enough daddies. We need daddies, godly daddies. That will be that dad to those boys, especially those boys. But those girls, they need daddy too. You know, I just stand in awe to think of the men that missed their whole life with their family because they didn't spend time with their wife and their kids. It was too involved in the world. Okay, read on, honey.
Cast in thy lot among us. Back up. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse.
Wow.
My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path.
You know, when a man, if he's reading the scripture to his children, I may not be exactly 100%, but I think Scott and Kim read the Proverbs just about once a month to their kids. Isn't that right?
Every day.
Okay, so here's a daddy and a mother that's got three children, one girl and two boys, and they read something out of the Proverbs to those children every day. Now, what kind of an impact do you think that's going to have on them kids? It's going to have lots of impact. Somebody said, well, how are you going to measure that? You know, they may still make some mistakes as they go along. But I guarantee they won't make near as many as if you don't spend that quality time with them. If you don't spend that quality time with them, they won't know these things. Now, there will be times that they'll make mistakes, you know, that they'll capture themselves. They'll do something crazy because they're still flesh. They make mistakes. But if you don't indwell this into these children and on a daily basis, I know. In fact, I had a man the other day. That was about 40 years old. He was building a building for me. And I walked up there to where he was, and a young man, he owned this company. And he asked who I was. He didn't know who I was. I told him. He said, well, I'll say one thing about your son. He said, you raised a good boy. I told him, I said, son, I didn't raise that boy. Jesus raised that boy. I just read the Word of God to him. But I did that. In fact, did you know the first time God ever spoke to me in my life was when I was reading Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, and right there was the first time I heard the audible voice of God, and he was telling me to train my children to walk with him. That was my responsibility, to teach my children how to walk with him. And so after that night, my son was 2 years old and my daughter was 1 month old. And I started reading the Word of God to them every night. Somebody said, your daughter, she couldn't hear nothing. I said, you'd be amazed what she heard. You'd be amazed what she heard. In fact, several years went by reading the Word of God. I had read the entire Bible to Tim and Amanda probably 3 or 4 times over an 8 or 10 year period. And so I was going home from somewhere in Dallas one day. And as I was driving along there, I was turned over on one of the Christian stations, and there was a guy there, they were talking, and he says, you know, if David was such a great shot with that slingshot and had such great faith, why did he take 5 smooth stones instead of just 1? I thought, you know, that's a good question. I don't know that myself. I hope he answers that. So anyway, he said the reason he did that is because David knew that Goliath had 4 brothers. And so there's 5 of them. So he went with 1 stone per giant. So he took the, I thought, my goodness, that's a great question. I said, I won't never forget this. So I get home that afternoon and I said, son, I got a question for you. Yes, Dad. He's 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever. I said, if David was such a good shot with that slingshot, why did he pick up 5 smooth stones instead of just 1? He said, Dad, I can't believe you don't know that. You've read that to me 3 times. I said, so what's the answer? He said, he had 4 brothers. I said, holy cow, I read it all them times that he retained it and I didn't. So now you see why you need to read it over and over and over, because you forget it too, right? I couldn't believe that. There was no problem with him and this little young, sharp mind man. He had that. He had 4 brothers, no problem. Ain't that something? So, but he knew the answer to that question. I had read the whole Bible. So you don't never read God's word to your children without something good happening. You know, it's going to come back home to you, I guarantee. God will bless his word in those kids, and he will do that. So, for their feet shall run to do evil, to make haste. Wow, those that shed blood, they're trying to get you to do something that you do not want to do. But if you've got the Proverbs, go ahead and go to the next verse.
Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
You know, right there, I'd like to make a little statement right there. Lots of young people that have never had a prayer answered don't understand when they're mocking God and doing things that's not bringing glory to His name. And then one day they get in a bind. And now all of a sudden they have been to church. They know that there is a God, and I need to call on Him, but He will not hear your prayer. And you are the problem, just like He says there. He will laugh at you. Isn't that something? Somebody says, God would never laugh at us. He says He will in His word. He will laugh at you. He will mock you when you... Wow. Okay, next verse.
When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Now you see why some people don't get their prayers answered? Mm-hmm. Now then, if you want to get your prayers answered, always come to God and humble yourself before Him and tell Him how sorry you are for your sins and the stupid things that you've done. He knows what you've done. But you confess that sin to Him. Tell Him how sorry you are. Lord, I am so sorry that I did not walk with you. I'm sorry that I laughed at you. I'm sorry I didn't stand for you when I should have. But Lord, I will from now on. I ask you to forgive me. Now this is a beautiful thing, just like that picture of little Jenna out there. We repented and remitted sins and done everything known to mankind to get that little girl healed for a year and a half, and we could not get that girl healed. I mean, we prayed, we done everything, we did everything we knew to do. No luck. I mean, if anything, she got worse every time we prayed instead of better. Finally, one day I told the mother and the father, I said, there's a sin issue here somewhere that we have not found. I said, Richard, I want you and your wife to go to the Lord every day. You're the spiritual head of the home. I want you to pray. I want you to ask God, what did we do, Lord, that caused you to curse our daughter with this curse? And he said, how long do we pray? I said, until you get an answer. Well, it took 3 weeks. They prayed off and on for 3 weeks. And then the Lord spoke to that mother, told her it was her lying and deception to her husband. Now, who in the world would ever dream that a wife lies to her husband? And do you know, chances are there's not a person in here that if you don't know these principles, at one time or another, you either lied to your husband or you deceived your husband for something, somehow. I mean, I know I've seen ladies go in and find something in the store, and they know that they can't afford that, they know they shouldn't have that, know their husband's not going to say okay. So, but they love it so they buy it anyway. And when they buy it anyway, and then they don't wear it for a couple of months. And then one day they put it on and wear it out, and he said, hey, is that a new dress you got on? Oh, no, I've had this a long time. It's just been in the closet. I have never worn it. He's had it too. And now, is she lying?
Yes.
Yes. But do women do that?
Yes.
Do people lie? Yes, people lie. Well, let me tell you what, if you want to get an answer from God, you need to. He hates liars. So you need to make sure that you've repented of your sin. And so once Sally repented to her husband for lying to him, and he forgave her, and then she repented to God and told him how sorry she was for the stupid things she done, and he forgave her, then we prayed the prayer of faith, and in 2 weeks that little girl was completely, totally healed. Now, I'm telling you. Don't you think God means what He says in the Word?
Yes.
I guarantee you. You shall call upon me, but I will not answer you. You shall seek for me, but they will not find me. So how many times have you ever had somebody say to you, or maybe you've done it yourself, Lord, I need help. And He's over there saying, yeah, you need help, all right. One of these days when we got time, when Mike's got, he got a testimony read to me last Sunday night after church. I won't hear sometime in the future, I want him to read that testimony. It's so cool about how we think we are good at something, and God is over here, he's doing part of it, and we're doing part of it, we think. But when you hear this testimony, it'll blow your socks off. The thing, when it says that you can do nothing without me, what can we do without God?
Nothing.
We can't do nothing without God. And so, wow. If you want something from God, you need to make sure that you have confessed all your sins, that you've repented of all your sins, and then you're standing on the Scripture. Because if you do that, then he will forgive you, and he will answer your request. Okay, honey, go ahead, next verse.
For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Now, which one of those two boys do you want to be? That last one's kind of the one I want to be, don't you? He'll dwell safely and will be quiet from fear of evil. Wow. Is that all of them?
Yes, that's the last of
them. Okay, one more verse, okay.
One more verse?
And there's just one more verse?
No, that's the end of it.
Oh, that's the end of 33 is the last one? Okay. Okay. Do what on?
4:15.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Oh, okay. I thought 4:16. I don't understand what we're talking about here. Okay, so just one more time. Back up there just about four verses and read that from there to the end one more time. Back up to about verse 30 or 29 or something.
Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Okay, so one more time, I want to ask you a question. Which one of those two boys do you want to be? I want to be that. I don't want to be that 28, 29, 30, 31. I don't want to see that one, do you? But is this instructions God is giving us, and he's giving it to us as daddies, granddaddies, fathers and sons? He's given us these instructions so we can train our children so our children will not go wrong. But how many people do you know that read the Word of God to their children every day? I'm going to tell you that if God hadn't have spoken to me audibly and told me that's what I needed to do, I would not have done that. I did not know. I thought when we went to church, and that's where my children were supposed to be taught about God. I never dreamed that I'm supposed to do it at home. But according to the Word, I'm supposed to do it at home. Is that right? Yeah, I'm supposed to train my children at home, and you're supposed to train your children at home. And if you don't, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get those first three or four boys there. Wow. That's sad, isn't it? But we're learning, are we?
Yeah.
And where are we learning all these instructions from, Baron?
The Word.
The Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so anyway, I'm glad all of you came today, and I'm glad you had we had a good little Bible study here. And I want my prayer warriors, if you need to be prayed for today, I got some prayer warriors that need to stand up. These are the folks that you'll need to find if you need prayer. We are very restrictive at this church as to who prays for who. We want to make sure that the men and women that pray for you know how to get their prayer answered and that they're walking clean and pure and holy before God. And these men and women know that, and they get their answers to prayer all the time. So,
spirits transfer.
Yeah, and spirits do transfer. So anyway, if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. If you need any of the CDs and DVDs anywhere in the building, you can just shop around, get what you want, get CDs or DVDs or both. You can take from here, you can take as many as you like. I got really tickled a while ago, this gentleman here from Fort Worth. I forgot your name, sir.
Michael.
I think he said he went somewhere and he saw some stuff laying on the side of the curb or something. What, wasn't that?
I was going down the street and I saw a bunch of stuff that people had left out on the curb. And I said, no, I'm not going to stop because I don't know if they evicted them and then I want them to come back to the stop with it. So I wanted to wait. So I'll just wait. Well, I went later on that evening. I said, I'm going to go back by that. I just felt the nudge. That's the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He whispers to us. So he said, go back over there and go look. And I went by there and I saw everything was gone. And I said, well, everything's gone. Well, and then I saw a look on the floor, and there was a whole bunch of shiny discs. And I said, well, I got out of the car, and I went to go look at the discs. First one that I saw picked up, it said January the 18th, my birthday. And it was Pastor Thurman. And I knew that right there and then, in my spirit, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, I put something inside this man that I want to share with you. I want you to learn. So I took all those discs home, and I said to myself, when I'm picking them up, I said, my gosh, man, they think they left the trash, but they really left the treasure.
He told me earlier that him and his wife both have been listening to those and just really being blessed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You never know what God's going to do you, sir?
He is good.
He is good. Praise the Lord. We're so grateful to have you and your wife and your grandsons here today. Come back to see us anytime you like. Praise the Lord. Okay, now that you know, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're our God, our Lord, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. You're our everything. We're so grateful that you do all these wonderful things for all your people and how you bless all of us if we'll just walk with you. And Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, if anybody here today does not know you as Lord and Savior, I hope that they'll come to one of these prayer warriors and they'll get led to Christ, because it's the simplest thing in the world to come to Jesus. All you got to do is believe in the name of Jesus, the name that Dave talked about, the name of Jesus. So Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for delivering us. And thank you for meeting every need, and then use every one of us this week to bring glory and honor to your name. And we thank you and praise you, Father. And Lord, while we're thanking you, I want to thank you for Chad's promotion. As he got, we prayed one Sunday, and he come in the next Sunday, he had the promotion. So he was a happy camper. Prayer changes things. So Lord, thank you for blessing us all. In Jesus' name, amen.